In the chapters leading up to today's gospel reading, Jesus is asked a lot of questions. Folks don't understand who he is or what's going on around him. Some are curious, others threatened, and others aren't sure what to believe and long for Jesus just to be clear about who he is and why he's here. We far prefer the relief of knowing rather than the discomfort of things not making sense. And Jesus' teaching is disrupting and destabilizing. It's often not clear. Who is he? What's he doing? What should we do? How should we respond to him? We ask questions. We ask to make some sort of sense of what we're seeing or hearing, but don't quite understand. These last couple of weeks, with all that's going on in Gaza, Israel, and the Middle East, a lot of questions are being asked because there's a lot we're trying to make sense of. And yet questions are often asked to make the unknown fit. Faced with certain uncertainty or confusion, we often ask questions to try to fit an unknown thing into what we think we do know. Take an unknown thing and make it work with the world as we see it, the world as we believe it is. And so we want to know who's good and who's evil. Who do we support and who should we blame? Was this all inevitable? Can it be justified? Who should we listen to? Who should we follow? And for the folks around Jesus, Jesus doesn't fit, doesn't quite make sense. So they ask questions to make him fit, to make who he is make sense to them. If Jesus is a revolutionary, then we kind of know how to respond. If he supports the empire, then we kind of know what to do next. And so Jesus is asked the question we hear today: is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor? Now, ultimately, Jesus answers with the now legendary response: give to the emperor that which is the emperor's, and to God that which is God's. 2,000 years on, we also want Jesus' answer to fit with the world as we know it. So we might hear in his response that we're to keep our civic and earthly life separate from our spiritual or religious life. Yet those asking Jesus this question were amazed when they heard his response. Amazed by the way he answered this question. Amazement, I might argue, is rarely a response to a clearly stated and matter-of-fact answer. We often ask questions hoping for an answer that'll fit with what we expect of the world. The question put to Jesus was intended to test him, get him to identify himself as either one thing or another. Yet in asking a question, there is always a risk that we might be unexpectedly surprised by the answer we get. With every question we ask, we actually risk being changed by what we hear or learn. Those who put the question to Jesus are amazed by his response. They might also be described as astonished or astounded, or even as filled with awe or wonder. And so for us to reduce Jesus' answer to their question to one that fits easily with the way we already see the world, to assume that he's suggesting we keep our civic and spiritual lives separate, I think this has us missing a key part of the teaching. I think with his response, Jesus jolts the gathered group into remembering what they know deep in their being, deeper down and more intrinsically, more fundamentally than their day-to-day mind might acknowledge. They remember that, as the psalmist puts it, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and all who dwell therein. And this is why they're amazed. They're perhaps struck by this insight that's now impossible to unsee. They're suddenly fully aware of this truth that their day-to-day mind had forgotten. They leave him, they go away, and we are left to imagine what they do next, what this epiphany may lead them to do next, in what new ways they might now begin to respond to the broken, hurting world around them. The next step is theirs to take. Their healing transformation, perhaps, now underway. So what might this teaching offer us today in the midst of our own questioning? What kind of answers are we expecting? Are we hopeful for answers that might make the great destabilizing and dreadful events of our world fit somehow with the assumptions we already have about the way that things are and have been and always will be? Or are we willing to take a risk, to be receptive, to understand the world and all that is in it in a renewed way, and to be changed, to be transformed by that? In this most recent outbreak of violence, millions are terrified. Thousands have lost their lives. The landscape has been decimated, buildings reduced to rubble, the air and waters poisoned by munitions and destructions, wildlife gone. The traumas of war absorbed by the earth and by the bodies of the survivors, to be known and felt by countless future generations. Can this ever make sense? Should it? Should we even attempt to make this suffering fit with the world as we've come to believe that it is, and then just carry on with our answers, but with broken, heavy hearts? Jesus today reminds us of who and what we really are, what this world really is, that we are God's own, all of us. Every breath of life on this incredible planet, every rock, stream, and drop of rain, every ray of sunlight and star in the sky is God's own. And our lives are ours to live because of this. And this today should rightly amaze us. We should be astonished by this truth. And in this remembering, as we encounter this insight, we are assured that we can, and in fact, we must risk new ways of being, new ways of understanding the world around us and what could be. We can and we must imagine new and renewed ways to share this glorious world and its resources in ways that are just and life-giving for all, as it is all God's own. Are we willing to take a risk? To feel the jolt of a fresh understanding that could change the questions we're asking? Are we willing to be changed by what Jesus is teaching us, to be transformed by our life in Christ and then act on that? I want to close this morning with the words of Palestinian priest and liberation theologian Naeem Atik. Do not, he says, do not dilute the strength of Jesus' message. Do not shun it. Do not dismiss it as unreal and impractical. Do not cut it to your size, trying to make it more applicable to real life in the world. Do not change it so that it will suit you. Keep it as it is. Aspire to it, desire it, and work with God for its achievement. Amen.